Today's Shir Masechta Yevam is Daf Tzadik Gimel. We will begin on Daf Tzadik Beis on the Beis, four lines from the bottom. In our previous Shir, Rabbi Yannai quoted the Shir, the Halacha, that Nimna v'Gomru, there was a decision taken, She'en Kedushin Tovsin B'chai V'Lavin. Kedushin is not Tovsin B'chai V'Lavin. And the Gemara then quoted a Mishnah that said that Kedusha is not typhus. But the question is, when we learned that Mishnah as why, there could be two ways of explaining it. One is because Kedusha is not typhus b'chai v'lavin, or because that Mishnah is speaking about cases of davish lo b'loilam, what is being declared is not available yet. Amalei Rish Lakish. Ilav the Kalsa Rabach. If not that Reb Yannai said, Reb Yannai Shlokas said to Reb Yochanan, if not that Reb Yannai said that you were a great individual, Hav Minalach Mesnison, I would have said that the Mishnah that says the Kedushin is not valid by Yevama is Rabbi Kivihi. It follows the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Domer, who holds Ein Kedushin, Taisim B'chav Yelavin. And since, as we've been learning in our Masechta, a Yevama L'shuk, a woman who's obligated to have Yibam, before she has the Yibam, there's a Chiv Lav for to have Kedushin. That's why the Kedushin is not typhus. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva, if we're going to say that Mishnah is following the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, Ki Amalei Lach Shiachetz Lo Yivamech. So if that's the issue, so that if somebody said to a woman that my Kedushin with you should be effective after you have Chalitza from your Yavam, Litva said Kedushin. The Kedushin should be valid. For ask the Gemara, the Shemina Le Rabbi Kiva, we know that the opinion of Rabbi Kiva is the Adam Makna, Dovash Allah Balaylam, that a person can make a Kinyan even on something that doesn't yet exist. The Tanan, as the Mishnah in Masechta Nedarim teaches us, we know that a woman earnings, a wife's earnings are supposed to be given to her husband. If a wife makes a nether, that she made a nether that whatever she works, her husband may not have any benefit for her, the halacha is, ain't tzarich lahafer. There's no need for the husband to annul that nether because she has a prior obligation to that all her earnings go to her husband. And since her prior obligation, shibud, is that all her earning goes to her husband, she can't make anything that she earns also to her husband. And as the Gemara Masechta Ksubos teaches us, that not only what she earns, there's an amount that was established, that's how much a woman earns and how much she's responsible to give to her husband, but even if she earned more than that, the halacha is her husband has every right on that money. So if that's the case, says the Gemara, there is no reason that she has to make, that the husband has to be made for the nether, because the nether is not a valid nether. And the reason the nether is not a valid nether, because you can't make a nether on something that you don't own. And she doesn't own her Masi Yadayim, her husband owns those Masi Yadayim. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, and he says, Yofer, that the husband should actually annul that nether. Shema tadif alof, maybe she will earn more, she's going to work extra. And the way the Rishonim explain extra means that she's going to work even more than is expected or is really usually done by a woman. And the halacha is that if she works that type of extra, she's allowed to keep her, she keeps what she benefits. Because Shema Tadifalov, maybe she's going to earn more. Yoisim and Aroi, Loi Morin, she's obligated that Chazal said she has to give him. And then that would be a valid nether. So let's think about it. She has that ability to perhaps make even more than she's obligated to give her husband. But the question still remains. Those earnings aren't here right now. So how could she make a neder that those earnings should be also to a husband, a neder that forbid them from a husband, when they're not even here? So we see from here that it is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that you can make a neder even on a davar shlabal olam. So when the man said that the kedushin on the Yavama when the man said that the kedushin should be chal after the chalitza takes place, then why does that Mishnah say that it's not going to be a valid kedushin? It was trying to interpret that Mishnah to be following the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Says the Gemara, Itma lo amra funa b'rei d'Yeshua, b'meres yikachi yodi lo yaseyim. The way to understand that Mishnah is not when she said that whatever she earns should be usur, because you can't make a nether on something that doesn't exist. What she made is, she made a nether, yikachi yodi lo yaseyim, that my hands, which are here in the world, should be usur. And the way Tosfos explains, that everything that I earn should be hegdish. And since it's hegdish, therefore, and our hands are in existence, the yadayim isnu ba'alma. Ask the Rashba that the example that's always used, that something like this, is dekalaperis, the fruit of a tree, that even though the fruit is not here, but the tree is here. But ask the Rashba, the fruit is directly connected to the tree. The fruit comes out of the tree. The ma'aseh yadayim, what I do with my hands, yes, I need my hands to accomplish what I need them to accomplish. But the activity that I do doesn't grow out of my hands. And therefore, ask the Rashba, how could that be considered like a situation of dekel peirosov? It's not growing out of my hand. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. The way to answer the Rashba's question is not that what I accomplish, what I make, come out of my hand. As Tosfos said, says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, what I'm saying is that my hands, I'm making an edit that whatever I do with my hands should be hegdish. And my hands are here. And since my hands are here, by me making a nether and declaring that whatever I do should be hegdish, that type of a nether is chal. Says the Gemara. So, Pliga, this is in disagreement on what Rav Nachman Yitzchak said. The Gemara is now going to give many opinions that say, in other words, what not the Gemara is saying now is that Rav Kiva actually holds that ain't other makna davar shloi b'loilam. The reason over there is different. Why the nether was chal? Because the nether was on the yadayim, and the yadayim exist in the world. But if it weren't in that case, the halacha would be that ain't other makna that other makna davar shloi b'loilam. There's a very interesting Mishnah Melech that says if a cotton did kedushin and said harei at mekudeshesli, the marriage should be valid lacha shagdal. So do we say it's a davar shloi b'loilam, or do we say that it's not considered a davar shloi b'loilam because he already is in the world? So the Shaar Melech says that a raya that you can make such a kedushin is that let's say somebody lent somebody else money, and the time for payment has not yet come. So if the time for payment has not yet come, it's a davar shloi b'loilam. And even though it's a davar shloi b'loilam, you could be meichel, the malva could forgive that debt. So he says, that isn't a good example. Because the debt is there. The time for payment isn't there yet. Because here, but in a case like this, where the debt is already there, maybe that's why you could be meichel. But the cotton who's making kedushin, that the cotton is still at this point a cotton, it may be a very, very different situation. However, there is a very famous question that's asked. If indeed the halacha is that ein adam makna davar shloi b'loilam, then we find the Torah teaches us how Yaakov bought the bechira from Esav. Now the question is, at the time of the sale, Esav, Yitzchak was still alive. So Esav did not yet have the Bechaira. So how could he sell the Bechaira? Why isn't that considered Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam? So the Rivash says that the rule of Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam was not in effect before Kabbalah Satayra. So this episode between Yaakov and Esav obviously took place before Kabbalah Satayra. At that time, this rule of Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam was not yet in effect. The Rosh says that even if we'll say Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam, he says if there's a Shavua attached to it, then we say that Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam. And as we know, the Pasuk says that Yaakov Avinu said to Esav, Hishavali Kayoy. So since there was a shvu attached to that transaction, there is no problem with Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam. The Ktzais has a different explanation. He says that here it wasn't that Yaakov Avinu was buying the Bechaira. Indeed, you can't buy a Bechaira that doesn't exist yet. But what happened over here was what's known in the halachic terminology as a siluk, that Esav walked away from the Bechaira. Even though you can't do a kinyan on something on a Davar Shel Bal Olam, you could do siluk, you could walk away. And that's what Esav actually did. As the Pasuk says, I'm walking away from the Bechaira. Walking away from the Bechaira is not called a kinyan. It's called a siluk. And a siluk can happen on a Davar Shel Bal Olam. Another explanation is that the Bechaira at that time did have some relevance. Even if Yitzchak was, Baruch Hashem, still alive, there was no question yet of getting a double portion in Yitzchak's Yerusha. Because in those days, the individual, the son who was the Bechar, was the representative of the family as the most prestigious person of the family. That already existed when Yaakov and Esav were doing this transaction. And since that already existed when Yaakov and Esav were doing this transaction, that's why this transaction was not in violation of Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam. But says the Gemara, that even though we've been discussing and we've been learning at this point that Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam, says the Gemara, this actually pleaded Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak in disagreement with many Talnoim, many Amoraim, that Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak is not going to quote, that hold Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam. Dar Rav Nachman ben Yitzchak, Rav Huna Karav, V'Rav Karabyanai, V'Rav Yanai Karabchia, Rav Chia Karebi, V'Rebi Karameya, V'Rameya Karabalezer ben Yaakov, V'Relez ben Yaakov Rekiva, all of them hold the Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam. Says the Gemara, where do we see this? Rav Huna Mahi, where do we see Rav Huna holds this way? Ditmar, HaMoichel Peres Dekel, the case that we just spoke about a little while ago, if somebody sells the fruit of a tree that the fruit has not yet blossomed, l'chaveroi, Amar Rav Huna, Ad Shel Bal Olam, before the fruit has actually emerged from the tree, Yochel Achsaboy, the deal, you can walk away from the deal. Because as long as the fruit isn't here yet, the deal is not consummated. Mishabal Olam, but once the fruit does come out, any Yochel Achsaboy, you can't walk away from it. Because at that point, once the fruit emerged from the tree, the deal is considered a full-fledged deal. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman holds Ap Mishbal Olam, even after they emerge, Yochel Achsaboy, you could still walk away. Because since when the kinyan took place, it was an Adav Shel Bal Olam, so that whole kinyan wasn't a kinyan. But says Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, even though I say that this transaction was not considered a legally valid transaction because the fruit had not yet emerged, and since the fruit had not yet emerged, this was a situation of Ein Adam Makta Davar Shel Bal Olam, Maidina, I do agree to Rav Huna, the Shamit, that if the buyer went and took some of the fruit before the seller retracted from the deal, Vachal, and he ate those fruit, the seller cannot say that I want that back. Because at that point, since he had not officially eaten from the fruit yet. He had not retracted from the fruit, that then the halacha is that the deal is still a deal because the fruit is here. But the Rosh says that this, that the buyer had seized the fruit and we're learning that he could hold on to it, is only if the owner, if the seller is aware of what's happening and he remains silent. But if the seller is not aware, then he can't keep it, says the Rosh, and so says the Shach, Paskins the Shach, because the seller could say, had I known you were taking the fruit, I would have protested. The halacha is, but furthermore, many of the Rishonim say that only if he ate the fruit, but if he just seized the fruit without, if he seized the fruit, that isn't sufficient. But we see clearly, according to Rav Huna, that when the fruit does come out, it's considered, according to Rav Huna, a valid transaction, even though when the transaction actually took place, they were davar shelo b'loilim. Rav, where do we see that Rav also holds that other makna davar shelo b'loilim? Damar Rav Huna Rav, Haim l'chaveri soda zusha nilkeach. I'm going to buy this field, but I haven't bought it yet. Lekhe shechena, when I buy it, k'nu yaloch mi'achshav. It's going to be yours from now. And the halacha is kind of, that's considered a valid sale. Now let's think about it. When he sold the field, when he did this transaction, selling the field, the field wasn't even his. You can't sell something that doesn't belong to you. And yet we see that it's chal. Why? Because he obviously holds that even tzedav shlo b'loilam, that doesn't prevent the transaction from happening. However, Tosfos says that you do have to say the word mi'achshav, because if you don't say the word mi'achshav, then the halacha is that it wouldn't be considered a valid kinyan. Other Rishonim disagree. Says the Gemara of Yanai, where do we see the Rav Yanai holds like Rav Chiya, that he heard from the Rav Chiya also holds another makdav shabalaylam? Says the Gemara of Yanai Havali Arisa, Rav Yanai had a sharecropper. There are different types of workers that one could have in his field. A sharecropper is somebody who gets a certain percentage of the field, of the produce, and the rest he gives to the owner of the field. And this sharecropper, have a maislei, kanta de peri, he would bring to Rav Yanai, who was the owner of the field, every Friday, kamal shapsa, a basket of fruit. Hahu yoima, but there was a day, then nogalei, that the oris got delayed, v'layosa, and he didn't come. And Rav Yanai now had an issue, because he's going to bring this fruit, but by the time he brings the fruit, it will be already Shabbos. And on Shabbos, the halacha is that you're not allowed to take trumas and maestras. It's called being masakin. You're making them edible. Shokel. So he went, he took the peri de beisei. He took peris that he had in his home, and he used them to be the truma and maeser for the basket that's going to arrive later on. And now he came to Rav Chiya and asked the Shaila if what he did was appropriate or not. Because he took Trumas and Maestris on behalf of fruit that he didn't yet have. Amalei, so Rav Chiya told him, Shapa Varata, what you did right. The Tanya, the Pasuk says, L'man til melir Hashem al-kecha kol ha-yomim, Elu Shabbosos v'yom ha-tayvim. That there's a mitzvah of Oynik Shabbos on Shabbos, and the pasuk tells us that we have to be very careful that we should have the Oynik Shabbos. But as important as this, that we have to have the Oynik Shabbos, we also have to make sure the fruit we should take off the Trumas and Maestras. That's what the pasuk is saying. But ask the Gemara, let's understand what does that pasuk mean. Lamai Hilchsa, what do we learn from the pasuk? Ilei Mitla Surei, if the pasuk is telling us that we have to be careful to take off the Trumas and Maestras before Shabbos because of Mechel, in order that we should be able to eat the fruit on Shabbos, ask the Gemara. The halacha that we just quoted, that one is not allowed to take Trumas and Maestras on Shabbos, is only a din de Rabbanan. But the Rai said it's not considered tikkun. So we don't have psukim. The purpose of psukim is not to tell us that something which is midrabbanan is mutter. If midaraisa, it's mutter. Itzrach kral a mishri tilta the rabbanon. Do we need a pasuk to tell us that something which is the rabbanon is not an iser? El lav kai gavna. Isn't the pasuk come to teach us that we're allowed to take off trumas and maisrus on behalf of produce that we haven't even received? So we see that we're allowed to do a kinyan on a davar shelo bel olam letzorich oinik shabbos. Amalei, so Rabbanai. I had a dream that the pasuk that they read to me in the pasuk kana rotzitz. That means my love. What was the message that I was receiving? That you are relying on a weak stick and that you shouldn't have fouled such a psak because ain't other makna davish labaloylam. Loy says the Gemara. That wasn't what they meant to tell you. Rabbi Chiya told them, that wasn't the message that you were receiving. The message you were receiving, this weak stick will never be broken. It will never get extinguished. And then we have to look at the final words of the pasuk. That the truth will always prevail. So on the contrary, the message you were getting was that you did the right thing, and there is no problem of ein ad makna davish shivloi bel oilam. So I saw the Imri Emes explains, the Pasuk says, Laman tilman eliras Hashem l'kecha kol ha-yomim, and we're learning that that means ele shabbosus of yontav. So the Imri Emes says, the Pasuk begins there, asa ta'aser, as kol tfu azarecha, explains the Imri Emes that the Torah is teaching us an incredibly important lesson. That just like one has to give maaser from all of his produce, a person has to give maaser from his time. And yes, all week long and all year long, we're very occupied with whatever we do. But the pasuk says, "Asa to aser ele shabbosos for yom tovim." The shabbosos for yom tovim, when we have more free time, those days should be devoted for avodas Hashem. Another pshat that I saw. That the pasuk that the Sefer Mishnah Shoysef is teaching us, that the pasuk is teaching us that Shabbos and Yom Tovim carry much responsibility. On one hand, there are days that we have more free time, and when a person has free time, he sometimes ends up wasting that time. Another point that when a person has when we talk about Shabbos and Yom Tov, we know that there are so many halachas involved in Hilchos Shabbos. And since there's so many halachas involved in Hilchos Shabbos, we have to know that how does a person guaranteed that he will not be mechal Shabbos? Laman tilmad liras Hashem l'kecha. If you will learn and you will spend time learning Hilchos Shabbos for Yontif, then you will be guaranteed that the Shabbos and Yontif will be days that you won't chas v'shon be mechal Shabbos. There will be days that you won't waste the precious time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. The Sfas Emes has a different pshat. He says that just like when we have kachim, the eating of the kachim influences us in our entirety, as we learned earlier in this parak. So too, does he say, is the halacha with eating on Shabbos and Yontif. The eating of Shabbos and Yontif has the power that it infuses us with kedusha, that even what we eat during the week is also considered food that is kadosh. So here we learned that even though that there may be a consideration of ein adam makna davish shabaloilam, and as the Rishonim point out, there may also be a situation of shleiman mukaf, as Tosfos points out that normally when we take trumas and maaseros, all of the fruit that we're taking trumas and maaseros has to be together. That's called min hamukaf. It hit shloim min hamukaf. But because of the mitzvah oinik Shabbos, we're lenient in all of these halachas, which opens up the question: is the chiyuv of oinik Shabbos a chiyuv deraisa or a chiyuv derabbanan? The Rishonim, it seems that that's the opinion of the Rashba, that the chiyuv of oinik Shabbos is a chiv deraisa, and that's why it overrides all the concerns that we just mentioned in our shir. The Rambam seems to hold that the chiv oinik Shabbos is only a chiv drabonim. There's an interesting question that the Avni Nezer in the Shas Chuvos Avni Nezer Ori Chaim Sim Tov Chof Ches says that we know that during the 3 weeks we don't make a shachiyonu. And the question is, if somebody has a new fruit, that when we eat a new fruit, we have to make a shachiyonu, and now it's Shabbos, so we have this new fruit available to eat on Shabbos. We're on Shabbos, we have to have, as we just learned, perhaps even with the Raisa, a shachiyonu. And on the other hand, we have to have an onik Shabbos. On the other hand, we're not supposed to make a shachiyonu. So what's the halacha? And he says that the halacha is that the mitzvah of onik Shabbos is more important, and therefore one should eat the new fruit, even if it means making shachiyonu during the 3 weeks. Of course, we're talking about Shabbos. There are others that disagree, and they say that the mitzvah the Chasam Sofer seems to hold that you're allowed to eat the new fruit, just don't make a shachiyonu. Here we saw that they were debating if their psak that they issued was correct or not, based on what they saw in a chalom, in a dream. And the question is, can we rely on dreams or not? There's actually a sefer called Shas or Tshuvas Min HaShamayim. And the question is that those are tshuvas that were written from what this person saw Min HaShamayim. And with halacha is, can you rely on that? From our Gemara says that we can't rely on a cholam. But the Paiskim say that the halacha is that we can rely on a cholam when we're not just relying that the dream should tell us what the halacha is, or where the dream is going against what is an accepted halachic principle. There's the famous Gemara with Tanur Shel Bechanoi, Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia, Daf Nun Tesem Abeis, where there was a famous debate about the Tum and Tahara status of a certain furnace. And there was a baskol that came out and said that the halacha is like Rebbe Lezer. And the Chacham said, Loi B'Shemayim here. There, they wanted to rely on a baskol to go contrary to what was the halachically accepted principle. A dream cannot refute a halachically accepted principle. But in our Gemara, it isn't a situation where they want to rely on a dream to go against a halachically acceptable principle. They were relying on their own knowledge and logic to come up with a halacha. They only wanted to use the dream to see if they were right or wrong. That's not considered that you're paskening a shayla based on a cholam. Rebbe. How do we know that Rebbe holds that Adam Makna Dov Shlo B'loilem? Says the one of the Tanya Loisaske Ever Adonov. The Torah says that you're not allowed to give over a servant to his owner. Rebbe Omer, the Pasuk is not referring to a situation that the owner freed that Eved, because if the owner freed the Eved, he's not an Eved anymore. B'lokech Eved Amnas L'Shachra Kos B'Dover. The Pasuk speaking about that the owner said, I'm going to free you. If the owner said that I'm going to free you, you're not allowed to work with him. Hechidami, what does that mean? Amar Rav Nachman, it's the kosovlei that the person who bought this eved wrote him, l'ksheachecho, after I purchase you, harei atzma konalach machshav, you're already free. So even though when he wrote that document, he was not even his eved yet. From here we see the Adam Maknadava shlo b'loilam. Rameyer. Where we see the Rameya holds that other Maknadov Shalab Oilam, the Tanan. I'm Elisha, Hareyat Mekadeshus Le'achish as Geir. We will be married after I become Jewish. Lachish is Geiri after you become Jewish. Lacher Sheshtacher, he's an Evan, he says after I'm freed, the Kedushin should become valid. Lachish Teshtacheri, after you become free. Lachish Shamaspalech, or she's currently married, and he says after your husband dies. Lachish Thomas Achoisech, or a brother-in-law says to a sister-in-law that I can't marry you because your sister, who is my wife, is alive, and you can't marry an chais ishta as long as she's alive, even if you're no longer married to her. So he said, but after that woman dies, the kedusha should be effective. Lachshach tzivamteich, a woman who's a shemer yavam, and he says to this woman that my kedusha should be effective after the yavam does chalitza, and all these cases enem kedushas. Because right now the halacha is that it's not, it's a davar shelo b'la'olam. Ramei Omer mekudeshes. Ramei says that it is davar shelo b'la'olam, because even though it's a davar shelo b'la'olam, we see that we can rely on other makta davar shelo b'la'olam. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, where do we see Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that other makta davar shelo b'la'olam? The Tanan, the Mishnah, the Brayso over there speaks about dinei truma. The halacha is that one cannot take truma from fruit that's still connected to the ground. It has to be already detached from the ground. And furthermore, if one took truma from detached produce, it cannot be effective for produce which is still connected to the ground. So if somebody said that I'm taking truma from this row of produce that should be effective when they are detached from the ground, and then at that point, that not only should there be truma, there should be truma for fruit, that for produce which is already detached. Or somebody said, I'm taking truma from these detached produce on behalf of produce which is still attached to the ground, that it should become effective when that produce becomes detached. The Braisa says that it's considered an acceptable hafroshes truma. And the Braisa continues to say, yes, I'll cane. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, filo mam peres arugazu tulushim, yir truma peresu mechubarim. That not only did he say that the produce which is detached should be truma for peres that are still attached, but those peres that are still attached haven't really even ripened. They haven't grown a third. A peres arugazu mechubarim, where you have produce that's not a third grown, that isn't at all considered even produce, should be truma. Our peres arugazu tulushim, and when should it be effective? L'chashiyaviyu shlush v'yitlushu, after they grow a third and are detached from the ground. The halacha is, haviyu shlush v'nitlushu, at that point, when that happens, dvar of kayamim. Even though at this point, they're still attached, they haven't grown a third, because again, we see, because the halach is teaching us that other makna davar shelo b'la'olam. Rabbi Kiva also said the Gemara is a Tana that holds that the other makna davar shelo b'la'olam. Where do we see that? The Tana, the Mishnah Masechta Ksuba says, the halach is, as we learned earlier in our shir, kainim shani ois lapicha, if a woman made a neder that her husband should not have any benefit from what she earns, ain't a tzarech l'hafer. The husband doesn't have to be made for even that nether, because it's a nether that she had no right to make. Kiva meyofer, shemetad of alav yosim and aroyloi. Maybe she's going to earn more than she has to, and since that isn't meshubah to him, that nether would be effective. But that hasn't happened yet. So we see that Rabbi Kiva holds other makna davar shelo b'la'olam. We learned in the Mishnah that Mishnah taught us that if a woman was told that her husband and her son passed away, and based on that testimony, she did whatever she did, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. And then we learn what was told to her was just the opposite of what happened. So the Gemara discusses, sometimes as we learned in the Mishnah, we'll speak in the Gemara, the repercussions are very significant. But the Gemara wants to know exactly what happened here. Bami name Rav Sheshes. Eirechet b'yivama. If an Eirechet comes and says that the son died first and then the husband, and the halacha is that based on that, since at the moment of death there was no children, the halacha is that she has to have Yibam. If an Eirechet says that the husband was the one that died second, do we trust that one Eirechet? The question is that we learned in our Mishnah that when an Eirechet comes and says that a husband died, we believe that Eirechet. And we explained at the beginning of our parak, the reason is Mishum Iguna Ekila Barabonon. The question now we're going to discuss is what's going to be the halacha in our case, where the Eid Echad is saying that she should have Yibum? Do we say, just like we learned at the beginning of our Perek, that we trust an Eid Echad to say that she could get remarried, Mishimaguna Kaleb Barabanon, combined with the concept of Isha Daiko Mintzaba? Do we say that regarding Yibum as well? And the Gemara explains itself. Tamed Eid Echad, why is a woman allowed to get remarried based on the testimony of one aid? Mishana Milsa Avida Lagluy Le Mishakar. That we trust this aid because if the husband is going to, because he wouldn't say something that could be refuted by the husband showing up. Hachinami. So in this case also, Loy Meshaker, if it could be turned out, he could be exposed. Adilma, Tamed Eid Echad, Mishum Di'i Daika, Uminsaba. It's not just that we believe the Eid Echad, because we're confident that the Eid Echad would not be lying. But here, the reason is because the woman, as we've been learning throughout our perek, says, knows that the repercussions of her getting remarried when she's not allowed to get remarried are very serious. She's very careful before she gets remarried. And therefore, in this case, since she likes her brother-in-law and she's anxious to marry him, so Laidaika, she won't be so careful like she ought to be, and therefore Laidaika Mintzaba. And we don't have this concept of Isha Daika Mintzaba. Amalei Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says Tenesua. We learned this really, the answer to this question, in our Mishnah. Amalei, the Mishnah taught us that if they came, they reported to her, Meis b'neich v'ach, meis b'aleich, that your son died, and then your husband died, v'nesyama. And based on that testimony, she did Yibum, Vakach Amrullah. And then it was reported to her, the Chiluf Devarim, that actually it was just the opposite, that what happened was that first the husband died, and then the son died, and therefore she wasn't supposed to have Yibum. And if she marries her brother-in-law, when she's not supposed to marry her brother-in-law, as we often say, it's considered that she had relations with Eishes Ach. Teitzei, the halach is she can't remain with the Yavim. For Vlad, Rishon, whether that any child that was she becomes aware, any child that's born before she became aware of the mistake, or Achron, after she became aware of the mistake, is a mamzer. Because she had a son, she had a child from Eishes Ach. So drills down the Gemara a little further. Hey Chidami, what exactly is the case of our Mishnah? Ilay Matrei Utrei, if we're going to say that the two Adam that said that the son died first and then the husband, and therefore she's a candidate for Yibum. Matrei say that the husband died first and then the son, and therefore she's not a candidate for Yibum. So the question is, my Tam the Smachahani, why are you trusting more the Adam that say that the husband died first and she shouldn't have Yibum? Lismachahani, shouldn't we trust more, we could trust that the same way, the one who said that the son died first. And as I saw the Rishonim explain, not that she should be allowed to get married based on such a situation. A trey is a suffix. What the Gemara means to say, she should, if she got married, we shouldn't be so quick to say, based on this, that she's not allowed to remain married. Void, mamzer, why are we saying that the children born are mamzerim? They aren't more than suffix mamzer. And if you'll say, that's actually what the Mishnah meant to say. And when the Mishnah called him a mamzer, loydok, the Mishnah wasn't being precise. But what the Mishnah meant to say, it's a Suffolk mamzer, v'midik tani seifa, in the case of the seifa, where a woman was told that the husband died. And then she's told that her husband was alive when she got married. And then the husband died. So the halach is Havlad Rishon, the children that were born from her, and she got remarried, the children that were born before the husband died are Mamzerim, Achron, but the children who were born from the second marriage after the husband died ain't a Mamzer. So you see that our Mishnah is being very precise and identifying who is a Mamzer and who's not a Mamzer. Similarly, if it's a Trey situation, the Mishnah could not have used the word Mamzer. The Mishnah should have used the word Suffolk Mamzer. Elav Shmavino, what do we see from here? The Chad. What happened was there was one aid that came and said that the husband, that the son died, and then the husband. And then two Adim said, It was just the opposite. And why is there a problem? Because the Asa Betray, because it's two against one. Halav Hachi, if you wouldn't have had a situation of two against one, then the Halach is that we would have believed the one aid and let her have Yibum based on the testimony of one aid. So we clearly see that we could trust the aid Echad. Vikad Amri, and others say, L'haloi t'bailach, that certainly it's not a question. The I afil nami mehemni. We don't even need an aid echot. She could be trusted. The Tanan, the Mishnah we're going to learn, says, Hisha Shomer Meis Bali, the woman that comes and says, my husband died, and we know she has children, so Yibam isn't the question. Tanasi, she could get married based on her own testimony. Meis Bali, if she says, my husband died, and because of her testimony, she will have to have Yibam, because this husband, everybody knew, did not have children. The loch is to Siabim. So we see here that even the woman herself is trusted. If the woman herself is trusted, then certainly Ein Echad is trusted. Kita Bailach, what is the question that was asked? The mystery of Amala Alma. The woman that we know, her husband died without children. And she has to have Yibam. And there was a Yavam. And now an Eid Echad comes and says that the Yavam died. Or a situation that a woman, husband and son went to Medina Siam. And Eid Echad comes and says that the husband died first and then the son. And all of these cases, what the Eid says has a direct bearing on her, what is her status. And the Gemara explains itself. My time that Eid Echad, in normal situations, as we've been learning throughout a Perek, why do we trust an Eid Echad? Because the Eid is certainly telling us the truth. And since it's a Milsa Vida Lagluya, Lema Shaker, he knows that if he's going to be saying something which is not true, he stands the risk of getting caught. And therefore, here too, Lema Shaker. A dilma, maybe the way to understand, Tam the Eid Echad, Shem the Eid Dikements, but it's not just though we rely on the Eid Echad. It's we rely also on the fact that she won't get remarried unless she's certain that she can get remarried. Because otherwise she realizes and recognizes the repercussions of getting remarried. Ha, loidaika mitzvah. Here, this woman who's told that a yavam died is quick to get remarried and doesn't check if the yavam really died. Why? The Mr. Sanyalei, she hates her brother-in-law. And she doesn't want to ever have to marry her brother-in-law. And she knows that her brother-in-law could do Yibam with her, even against her will. And because of all of those considerations, this woman, even though normally, as our whole parak has been teaching us, the woman is usually very careful before she gets remarried, in this case, in her desire not to end up with the Yavam, whom she dislikes, she'll go get remarried, even though she didn't do the proper investigation. And that's why, even though in the rest of the cases of our parak, or many of the cases of parak, we've been trusting in the Eid Echad, here we wouldn't.